Hello, everybody, my name is Ron, and this is Ron's Guide to Talk for Thursday, 9th of September, 2021. We all know that Techtember, you know, combination of tech and September, is truly here. We've got lots of new gadgets being released, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Realme Pad, the Viva X70 series, Ray-Ban Stories, yes, those Facebook Ray-Ban collaborated glasses that we've been hearing about. And now they're an actual product, and much, much more. So let's get rolling, shall we? We need to first start by talk about some new products that just dropped from Realme, including their first tablet. I don't have to remind you, but the Android tablet market has really been quite a ghost town compared to competing options like the iPad and the Surface Pro. Aside from Amazon's tablets or the usual decent options from Samsung or Lenovo, there's not much available for most brands. Realme has changed this a bit by bringing the Realme Pad. It's the first such offering for the young smartphone brand, as it looks to offer a whole ecosystem of solid hardware to compete with Xiaomi and other rivals at competitive prices. We gotta obviously start with the tablets. Obviously, the Realme Pad features a MediaTek Helio G80 processor along with a 10.4-inch WUX GA Plus display with a resolution of 2000 by 1200 pixels. 2000 by 1200 pixels, an 8 megapixel ultra wide angle front camera with 105 degree field of view, pretty good for video calls. 8 megapixel rear camera, also, it's not ultra wide, it's just a regular camera. Quad speakers that support Dolby Atmos out of the gate. Comes with either 3 or 4 gigabytes of RAM with 32 or 64 gigabytes of storage. It's got a 7100 mAh battery with, and this is new for Android tablets if you haven't already noticed, 18 watt fast charging. For context, the 2020 iPad Air, which you can kind of refer this to, offers a 20 watt charger in the box, pretty decent. It comes with Android 11 out of the box. 4G and Wi-Fi is available here. You can obviously get one with Wi-Fi only. The Realme Pad comes in two colorways, gray and gold. For the base Wi-Fi only model, it costs only starting from 13,999 Indian rupees. That's about $190 roughly, and 31,991 Pakistani rupees. Okay, from all my Realme fanboys in Pakistan, I got the prices covered. The same spec with 4G. This is the base one without 4G in it. The same specs with 4G will set you back an extra 2,000 rupees. So that would be 15,999 rupees. Indians, that would be $217.57 or 36,561 Pakistani rupees. Kind of got the currency calculation right here. Maxed out spec, which is 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, would set you back 17,999 Indian rupees or $244.77 or 41,132 Pakistani rupees, give and take. And will be available from the online store and Flipkart initially in India from September 16th. We really don't know if they're planning on releasing this in other markets, but let's hope for the best. Honestly, quite a solid offering from Realme, given the limited range of Android tablets on offer. I honestly don't know the target market for this device. Don't know where they're going for, but as they're releasing it first in the Indian market, and again, I don't want to be stereotypical, but it would be safe to assume that they're going after long-time Android tablet owners who bought their tab like 5 years ago, and it's really starting to slow down, and they're in need of a big upgrade. On top of that, they've touted the big screen, the loudspeakers, the wide front camera, which means it's going to be a great media consumption device in case your phone doesn't give you big screen action already, or big sound, kind of, even those quad speakers with Atmos. Aside from, and probably be great for online classes or Zoom or video calls in case you don't want your kids to like get a laptop and they start downloading full PUBG on it, because you know PUBG Mobile doesn't get you a lot. Aside from that, Realme wants to be a market leader, and it'll need to offer a broad range of devices to appeal to tech savvy or casual users. So honestly, it's a good move for them. In that regard, we don't know how good the G80 is for those intended tasks, but, and this is a big but right here, and I saw it and I was like, yeah, don't know how people will feel about it. I'm sure some folks will not care, honestly, but some will actually would be bothered, because this kind of butts into the overall experience. But The memory and storage is pretty small for a big screen tablet. Some people will use this as their primary smartphone, but I'm guessing that's where Realme is saving costs right here. If they get significant sales or interest, they could double the storage for a Pad 2. I'm not holding this out, they could do it probably. But honestly, compared to the regular $329 iPad, which actually is like half the cost of this, which is double the cost of this Realme Pad in India, roughly. I actually checked the Apple Store price in India. They have an online store, actually. So it's actually double the cost, almost. It's a very decent tablet for streaming, casual work, studies, and video calls, if you think about it. If you want a Realme device for online learning, you know, like full-blown, and coding and all that kind of stuff, I mean, there's the Realme Book instead of this. But then again, it's an interesting move by this pretty young brand that is resetting, is really kind of going up to build out market share in that regard. Along with the new tablet, we have the Realme 8s 5G and 8i. These are two mid-range phones. To start with, the Realme 8s 5G features a 6.5 inch Full HD Plus display with a 90Hz refresh rate, the Dimensity 8810 CPU. The first phone with this octa-core processor clocked at 2.4 GHz and features a Mali G57 GPU with 6 or 8 GB of RAM. There's only an option of 128 GB of storage. That pretty much is it, but you can add a microSD card to the phone. On the back, you have a 64 megapixel f1.8 main shooter with a 2 megapixel monochrome and a 2 megapixel macro camera, but you get a 16 megapixel punch hole selfie camera on the front of that 90Hz display, a 5000 mAh battery with 33 watt fast charging. You get a 33 watt charger in the box, pretty good. It has AC Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 5.1, and mid-band 5G support, as in the name. It won't do millimeter wave. I warned you ahead of time. It won't do millimeter wave 5G, and I'm sure people will not care, because you know, if there's gonna be 5G networks in India, it'll probably be running on mid-band spectrum, and it's kind of working well. That's what I've heard. So that's to be expected. The 8s 5G comes in blue and purple and costs just 17,999 Indian rupees, so that's $245 roughly, or 41,133 Pakistani rupees, almost like double the price, you can say. And the 8GB variant, which has the same storage but two gigs of extra RAM, would set you back 19,999 Indian rupees, or $270, 45,698 Pakistani rupees. Roughly, this is the currency conversion that I've seen. 46 or 8 gigabytes of RAM variants, respectively. On the flip side, you have the Realme 8i, which is a slightly lower priced variant of the 8s. You can say it's got a 6.6 inch Full HD Plus LCD display with 120 Hz refresh rate. Yes, you heard it right, 120Hz, double the refresh rate. But you have a Helio G96 processor, first phone with this chip. Yes, got a couple of firsts with Realme here. The first phone to have a G96 chip with 4 or 6 gigabytes of RAM, 64 or 120 gigabytes of storage. You got microSD card support also, which will be in the, you know, SIM card tray slot, you know, so be able to find it there. In terms of cameras, you have a rear 50 megapixel f1.8 main shooter along with a 2 megapixel monochrome and 2 megapixel macro cameras, 60 megapixel selfie camera like the 8s, a 5000 mAh battery with 18 watt fast charging. Yes, the charger is also in the box, pretty good on Realme to do that. But on top of that, this phone starts from 13,999 Indian rupees for the base 4GB, 64GB variant, which is $190 or 31,994 Pakistani rupees. It's a bit more, but it's a pretty good price for the 8i. It will be available from September 14th, whereas the 8s will be available on September 13th. So essentially, next Monday you'll get the 8s, and then following Tuesday, September 14th, you'll get the 8i, which is pretty interesting nonetheless. And they're only available in India, weirdly. So, I mean, they're available from their online store and Flipkart. So if you live over there, definitely check these phones out if you're interested. Interesting tidbit that was reported when I read up about these phones is that both phones have dynamic RAM expansion, which lets you add more memory by using a bit of your internal storage, so you can have up to 13 gigabytes of RAM generally. Don't know how this works, Would love to see how this works. If I can get my hands on these sorts of phones that have dynamic RAM expansion, it'd be interesting. It would be interesting to see how the performance fares in that regard. Anyways, these two new phones are almost identical, but the Realme 8s 5G is a solid mid-range phone for the price, with a big main camera, big storage. In that sense, you know, 120 gigabytes of RAM, kind of fell off the tongue right there. Big batteries and just a solid MediaTek chip if you look at it in that standpoint. And generally, it just has a 90 hertz refresh rate generally, but you'll probably have better battery life in that regard. The 8i has a faster 120 hertz display, but it's not really a deal breaker if you ask me, generally. So pretty good if you ask me. Moving on, Vivo has officially dropped the X70 series, its line of flagship phones. They're usually known for making low and mid-end phones, but as I've said before, the X series features top-level specs and much, much more. We've got the X70, X70 Pro, and X70 Pro Plus. About their specs, both the X70 and X70 Pro feature the same 6.56 inch 120 hertz AMOLED displays, same 44 watt fast charging, but almost similar batteries, with a 4400 mAh battery on the X70 and 4500 mAh battery on the Pro. The X70 has the MediaTek Dimensity 1200, it's a pretty new chip, but the Pro has the Exynos 1080 that was already on the X60 Pro to start with. The cameras are where you really see the differences in both phones. The regular X70 has a rare 40 megapixel camera. It's a main shooter pretty much, so it's similar to the Pro, but it's a bit cropped down. But you get a gimbal sensor here at least, like the previous X series phones. Fortunately, 12 megapixel ultrawide camera, 12 megapixel 2x optical zoom telephoto camera, all with Zeiss lens to go with. The X70 Pro, on the other hand, has a rare 50 megapixel IMX766V main shooter, which is again like the regular X70. The same 12 megapixel ultrawide and telephoto sensors. Now the Pro though here has the same sensors as the regular X70. Both have the IMX766V, but one the X70 has cropped it down to 40 megapixels, whereas the Pro has 50 megapixels full range sort of the 766V, which I think is something to keep in mind when you're kind of shopping for these phones. Not a big deal, you're not going to notice much, honestly. Both do still have this the gimbal stabilization, which I think is wonderful to have in that sense, so that's great nonetheless. So you got the same 12 megapixel ultrawide and telephoto shooters as the regular X70, but additionally, you get a 8 megapixel 5x optical periscope lens camera, which and that's on top of the fact that you have Vivo V1 ISP on the Pro that gives you improved image performance and just better autofocus and all that, which again, we'll see how that fares generally. The X70 will start from 3,699 Chinese yuan RMB, which is around $573. An X70 Pro would start from 4,299 yuan RMB, which would be about $666. Nothing funny, it's just how it is costing, obviously, after the currency conversions. And the Pro will be available from next Friday, which is September 17th, whereas the regular X70 will be available from September 30th. So that's something to keep in mind. Price and availability is pretty much for the Chinese market here, but we don't know if it's available for the global market or it's just the Pro and the Pro Plus that might only be released globally. So that's something to keep in mind. But these two phones pale in comparison to the Vivo X70 Pro Plus. It's Vivo's ultra high-end flagship phone. Everything about it screams flagship over here. If you really read over the specs, we really got to about the Pro Plus. I mean, it really is a monster of a flagship. It features a 6.7-inch Samsung E5 AMOLED 120Hz display with a resolution of 1440x3200 pixels. It can automatically adjust its refresh rate, which saves battery life. Obviously, you can turn it off in the settings, of course. It has the Snapdragon 888 Plus processor, pretty fast over the 888 in terms of the main high performance core, which goes all the way up to almost 3 gigahertz in that sense. As for the cameras on the back, it features a 50 megapixel f1.7 Samsung GN1 sensor, which we've talked about before, with a pixel size of 1.2 micrometers, along with a 48 megapixel f1.2 IMX598 ultrawide sensor with a pixel size of 0.8 micrometers and a field of view roughly of about 114 degrees. A 12 megapixel f1.6 IMX663 portrait sensor and a 12 megapixel f1.6 periscope zoom lens shooter, so that gives you roughly 5 times optical zoom and up to 60 times combined digital zoom, which I think is pretty cool nonetheless. All sensors have optical image stabilization. The 50 megapixel GN1 sensor has that gimbal stabilization, which is pretty cool to have, but all sensors have OIS out of the gate and are coated with Zeiss T-Star lens, which is pretty cool to start with, like the X60 series. With such back cameras, the Pro Plus has the Vivon ISP, which it's custom designed for improved performance. It comes with either 8 or 12 gigabytes of LPDDR5 RAM and 256 or 512 gigabytes of UFS 3.1 storage. Pretty fast, I'm telling you right here. Rated for IP68 water and dust resistance. It's the first of the X series phones to do it. It comes in orange or blue vegan leather. You can get either, honestly. And really regular black if you want that. Honestly, people will pick a regular black back phone. I mean, it's reliable. You can't go wrong with it. You have a 4,500 milliamp hour battery with 55 watt fast charging, and get this, first in a X series phone, 50 watt wireless charging. As for prices and availability, the X70 Pro Plus starts at 5,500 yuan RMB, which is $850 roughly for the base spec, and a maxed out variant, which again is 12 gigabytes of RAM, 512 gigabytes of storage. No 1 terabyte option though, sadly. Would be lovely to have a 1 terabyte Android phone, but that's not going to happen given how hard it is to get 1 terabyte memory chips. They go into other things, honestly. The maxed out spec will set you back 7,000 yuan RMB. 7,000 yuan would be roughly $1,084. And it'll be available later this month, later in September. We exactly don't know the price, but later in September, which is pretty nice to have. We've seen all the specs of the X70 series. Now for my thoughts. We've got a solid range of top range, really top spec phones from Vivo, but the X70 Pro and Pro Plus certainly have the most bling and the most performance. You have some of the fastest performing chips over here. I mean, bar the Pros that has the Exynos 1080, but still fast, mind you. 4 brilliant cameras, including the main shooter, which features gimbal stabilization, top level storage and memory, and big batteries. You're getting the best of the best from Vivo in that respect. It'll be interesting to see how the Vivo and ISP fares in terms of potentially delivering better photos, because it doesn't need CPU's camera processing in general, if you look at it in that standpoint. The regular X70 is just a decent phone for the price. For those casual folks who end up getting an iPhone or a Huawei phone at that price. But honestly, I'd love to get these bad boys for a review and take them for a spin and see if it lives up to the hype that is. I would say this though, if you've got all the money in the world and you really are addicted to Android flagships in general, and you really want a top-notch phone, you don't care about the brand, you don't care what it says on the back, you don't give a damn about Samsung, you don't care if it's a Galaxy or a Mate or whatever, really. You just want performance, phenomenal cameras. You really want a phone that screams, it has everything. It's ballsy. It's a flagship. I'd recommend the X70 Pro and Pro Plus, like I've recommended the X60 Pro and Pro Plus last year, if you remember, if you've listened to that episode from last year. I've talked about the X60 series, and I recommended the Pro and Pro Plus. They're pretty good for what they are. And again, for the target markets that Vivo are bringing these phones to, pretty good options, flagship-wise, compared to what you can get from Samsung, and so on and so forth. They could release both of these globally, potentially. So that's very exciting to see nonetheless. Alrighty, the Cupertino-based company is about to do its iPhone event next Tuesday. We'll be talking about all of Apple's new goodies on the next episode completely. I mean, we have no room for other brands, okay? So, I'm warning you, well ahead of time, okay? But, we haven't really seen any significant rumors or leaks regarding any of the upcoming devices, but I'm sure Apple has done a decent job at keeping the new devices a pretty good secret. We really don't know what the cameras are on the iPhones. Not a big deal. They're not going to be 108 megapixels, but how much better it will be in terms of low light performance, and we have to see about that. But again, I think Apple's done a pretty good job in that sense, pretty decent job, sort of keeping it from the prying eyes of leakers and those who could go out and sort of bring out, you know, scoops regarding. But generally, that hasn't stopped people from guessing and speculating on what the next iPhone will feature. And in today's episode of What Will the iPhone 13 Have, drumroll. Max Weinbach, famous leaker, doesn't have a good track record in this regard, but pretty known for this stuff, shared his thoughts on Twitter regarding these leaks. And again, big shout out to Mac Rumors for the scoop here. I read them here, and you be the judge regarding these tidbits about the iPhone 13. So let's just, again, read through it pretty carefully. So he claims, no price rises for the iPhone 13 lineup. Seems plausible. It's hard to believe. The iPhone 13 mini will offer approximately one additional hour of battery life. The iPhone 13 Pro Max will feature an 18 to 20% larger battery compared to the iPhone 12 Pro Max. This could happen. I mean, I'm not... this can't be rejected. It could happen. I'm sure there's optimizations in the code to allow for this to happen eventually, but 20% is a pretty sound bet in that regard. Both the iPhone 13 and 13 Pro will continue to use the same battery components as last year, but offer batteries that are 10% larger. Don't know how that's possible. I'm sure this is just pure imagination, but it could happen. The battery life of the iPhone 13 Pro may be worse than the iPhone 13 due to the power consumption of the 120Hz capable ProMotion display. Yes, that high refresh rate display. They're not able to do it. I'm sure they could offer, dynamic, like, sort of, keep it dynamic. You could force 120Hz mode all the time. I'm sure they'll probably run the ProMotion, like, dynamically so that you could save battery life. So, if you're reading an ebook, for example, in the Books app, it'll run at, like, 1Hz, and then you're playing a game, it jumps to 120. I think that's what's more likely to happen. They're going to bring this functionality. They could just offer that dynamic tweaking so that the battery life could be helped with in that sense. I'm just saying, the ProMotion displays of the iPhone 13 Pro and 13 Pro Max will throttle to 60Hz when the low power mode is enabled. When you have low power on, it'll just stick it to 60Hz, which is plausible, if you ask me. The iPhone 13 Pro Max will continue to offer exclusive features that the iPhone 13 Pro will not have. We don't know what exactly. I'm guessing the cameras and, you know, little tidbits like the LiDAR and stuff. I mean, I'm sure that's probably to be staying on the Pro Max. The camera sensors across all models will be able to receive at least 15% more light, with the biggest increase on the ultra-wide camera sensor, up to 40% more light. It could happen. We cannot reject it. It could happen. Just saying. Cinematic portrait video mode will use an electronic image stabilization known as warp. This mode will attempt to keep the subject in the center of the frame, use OIS in a more smooth operating mode, and offer additional effects. Night mode will recognize when stars are in the frame and adjust settings accordingly. A new algorithm analyzes structures, resharpens, adjusts shadows. That's interesting. The color science of night mode will also be visibly improved. Part of me kind of thinks this is all, like, you know, nonsense. Like, I don't know how that's possible, but it could happen. I mean, as with all these rumors and leaks, ideas are just claims, you know. Along with that, aside from the iPhones, Max Weinberg claims obviously the third gen AirPods will feature a 20% larger battery, with the buds offering improved bass and low-end performance. The new Apple Watch could have improved battery life. Again, these are just claims. They may not be true in any way or shape or form, if you look at it in that context. But that's not the only bit of rumors we're hearing, literally. According to a Ukrainian online shopping site, I'm not going to mention a name because no one's going to recognize it, really. The iPhone 13 and 13 mini is going to be available in just 6 colorways. Blue, black, purple, pink, white, and product red. Whereas the 13 Pro and Pro Max will have the same colorways as the 12 Pro and Pro Max. But with bronze replacing Pacific Blue, there'll be a bronze colorway. I don't know how that's going to happen. It may look like gold to me a little bit, but it could happen. It could be a bit of a caramel gold color. I don't know how they're going to do that, but it could happen. I think it would be looking a bit more red and gold almost. That's what you mean by bronze. But here's the interesting part. The regular 13 and 13 mini, iPhone 13 mini obviously, and the iPhone 13, has either 64 or 120 gigabytes of storage, but the Pro and Pro Max is only available with 128, 256, or 512 gigabytes of storage. There's no 1 terabyte option being mentioned here. This is coming from an e-commerce listing, so it could be slightly plausible in that case. There's the chip shortages that are going on, but I believe memory chips are not in that much of a short supply in that sense. So that's something to look at. But weirdly, there's no mention of a 256 gigabyte storage option. I'm sure they just kept it, you know, blanked out. Probably that's what they could find, or that's what they could sort of see. Maybe, who knows, that we might not get 256 gigabytes of storage on the iPhone 13 and 13 mini. I'm sure there's a way to get them to buy the Pro models potentially. But aside from that, this is an S type of year, and so I'm really expecting no significant game changing functionality. Just some little improvements here and there, and a new colorway. We have a few more days till we find out. Till then, really are all dreaming about the iPhone 13, aren't we? I mean, if you look at it, generally. Moving over to wearables. It's been ages since we've seen wearable smart glasses, if you look at it in that sense. Facebook and Ray-Ban sort of had a collaboration that they did, I don't know when, I think it was last year or a year before last year. They did like a collaborate, they announced that they were collaborating on creating wearable devices and sort of enhanced computing experiences, you know, the whole sort of AR, VR kind of stuff. And today we've gotten sort of the first iteration, you could say the first take off that collaboration between both companies in these new smart glasses called Ray-Ban Stories. Now, if you look at how these things work, you may be thinking this is Facebook's answer to Snapchat spectacles, because Snapchat actually did this like several years ago, and that was a big, big thing. They created smart glasses and cameras, and you literally pushed a button and recorded a couple of seconds of clip, and you could share it on Snapchat, and it was a big deal. It was a pretty big deal, if you ask me. But here what you're getting is smart glasses that sort of work with Facebook's ecosystem. Again, it's a collaboration between Ray-Ban and Facebook. The Ray-Ban Stories, which is in the name, you can look at, this is obviously the first wearable that both parties have created, generally. Here, you could do a bunch of things with these Ray-Ban smart glasses that are called Stories. One is you can take photos and videos that you can share on your Instagram story, Facebook story, WhatsApp status, or put on TikTok, or, you know, you could go click the share button and share it on any app or service you can think of from there. And you can listen to music and take phone calls with those bone conductive, sensors in the frame, on the sides where you hold your glasses, sort of. I don't know what you call them, but it's over there. And you have beamforming technology in those. On top of that, you have 3 microphones on the side, so to record everything you're hearing over there. And weirdly enough, this is a Facebook product, so they actually address the privacy concerns. In case you're curious, you're thinking they're going to run ads on my glasses. Hey, we think you're interested in some real estate. You know, like they've been showing me like for several months on end. But actually, they did write in their blog post about these glasses that that they just collect essential data to keep your glasses running, like battery and all, and you know, and login details so for your app can work. But interestingly, you can opt in to send more data to Facebook about the overall experience, diagnostic data, and you can opt into using the voice controls on the glasses. So you could say, "Hey Facebook, record this or that." You can opt into that if you want. And they warned you, so they're not gonna. And they say it's ad-free experience, which means that you won't suddenly get ads when using the glasses or the app, which is crazy, but okay. I think it's plausible, literally. And apparently, if you take any photos or videos on these glasses, they'll be encrypted and they're paired to one Facebook account at a time. If you lose them, or you know, they'll be deleted, and you know, and all that kind of stuff. So that's interesting. I think it makes sense because Facebook's creating these kind of smart glasses, and I think people are generally going to be concerned that, oh shoot, you know, Zuckerberg's going to get into my is going to get on my glasses, sunglasses, and record all sorts of things and try to sort of make more money. But this product, I mean, you have to buy the glasses first. There's no, it doesn't come for free, obviously. These glasses start from $300, give and take. And as I say, you can take photos and videos, you can listen to music and take calls because you can connect to Bluetooth for that and connect to Wi-Fi, you can transfer photos and videos here. Pretty cool. It starts for $300 and come in 20 style combinations, including iconic Ray-Ban Wayfair sunglasses. You can get that style too if you don't have good taste in sunglasses, that is. I mean, and you can do it Casey Neistat style, where you can cover the, you know, lenses and the glasses, and you can spray white and scrap a bit, and you can make the Casey Neistat glasses if you want. I mean, that's totally up to you if you want to do that. That's what I'd do if I get these, generally speaking, in that sense. So yeah, I kind of explained all the features, really. So the way they work is that you sort of press a button on the side, like the spectacles from Snapchat, and you record 30 seconds of video or a photo. And you can also do it hands-free with the Facebook Assistant. I don't know what you do with that, but okay. And then afterwards, you can see that footage on your phone on the Facebook View app. And you can then decide to send it straight to Instagram, WhatsApp, or Facebook, or Messenger, or share it on other social media platforms if you like. It would be pretty good for WhatsApp statuses and stories. You can like, sort of double, you can click, and you can sort of take a video of you walking around or going to an event, and you can share it on your story. Pretty hands-free. This is the first of several wearable devices that Facebook plans to offer, along with Ray-Ban. As I mentioned, you can get it in 20 different variations. And if you're curious about generally the functions, you get a 5-megapixel camera on both sides, left and right, and sort of be stitched together to get a perfect photo in that sense. And apparently, according to the product details seen on the Ray-Ban site, It comes in a charging case. You pop it into charge like the spectacles from Snapchat. You get Ray-Ban G15 lenses on the Wayfairs. So if you know your lenses, sunglasses, pretty good. You can record 30 frames a second video at up to 1,184. You can control it by touch and voice. Interestingly, you could take up to 500 photos or 30-second clips. Works over AC Wi-Fi. Bluetooth 5.0 is there. You'll need an iPhone with iOS 13 or later, or an Android phone with Android 8.1 or later for this. So that's something to look forward to. I don't know about you, but this is a fascinating product. Facebook's made it, which is kind of the controversial story. But it's quite pretty cool for recording. Honestly, if you want, I mean, $400, $300 starting for this glasses. It's the fact that it's Ray-Ban and Facebook. I want people will probably pick this up over something enthusiast in that regard. If you really want a compact camera to connect to your phone and take photos and videos, like in the heat in the moment, you pop it in and you're in an event. There are options for you. There's the Insta360 Nano, which is pretty good. If you put it in your pouch, if you have a pouch on your T-shirt, you can sort of put a metal, you can get a magnet and you can stick it and you can take videos like that, and you can get mounts for it really if you want, I mean, or a clip mount. That option's there too, instead of this. But yeah, honestly, the Ray-Ban glasses are pretty a fascinating piece of technology if you ask me. I mean, pretty fascinating if you ask me in that sense. And finally for this episode, the new piece of tech we have here. This is interesting. Amazon's making its own smart TVs. We know there's the Fire Stick, which is popular all over the world, I mean, in that point. And now we have Amazon-branded smart TVs. Who knew we were going to get to that day? So Amazon today sort of released two sets of Fire TVs. One, both run Fire OS, so you could run all your popular apps and services. One is the Fire TV Omni, which is like quite premium on the upper end of the market. And then there's the 4 series, which is cheaper in that sense. So what's the difference between these two lines of TVs generally? So the Omni, as we'll call it, offers you hands-free Alexa voice commands, which I think is a pretty big deal if you ask me. So you won't need to press the Alexa button on your remote to get access to Alexa. So you can do it hands-free, and it's literally like a button microphone array on the bottom of the TV, sort of. So it'll do that out of the gate, generally. And I think it has a webcam, I believe. Like, so you can take audio calls and video calls, probably, and you can do Zoom calls. It has a USB port, so you could plug a webcam in if you want. It'll support Zoom calls, and that's what I know. I mean, because the Zoom app's already on the Fire OS, so you could pick that up if you want. The Omni TVs will do live view picture-in-picture. This means that while you're watching a favorite movie or show, you could see whatever's going on your smart doorbell or Ring cameras, and that's pretty cool nonetheless. The Omni TVs feature 4K resolution out of the gate, HDR10, HLG, Dolby Digital Plus, Dolby Vision, HDR out of the gate. And it'll be available in five sizes, 43, 50, 55, 65, and 75 inches. It'll start from $499, $410, all the way up to $1,100. $1,100 would probably be for the 75-inch variant, so it'll go up in price. But overall starts from $410 nonetheless. There's the 4 series on the flip side, which is just a regular good old 4K HDR smart TV competing with your Hisense options in the US generally. It supports Alexa, but through your remote only, like the Fire Sticks of today. You can do 4K with HDR10 and HLG out of the gate. Will only be available in 43, 50, and 55 inches. And start from $369, going all the way up to $519 generally. And they'll be shipping on, and both series of models will be available from October 27th, just in time for Black Friday, literally. And you can now pre-order it if you want. That's pretty cool. Interesting enough, on the flip side, Toshiba already has been making Fire TV based smart TVs instead of Android or some funny Linux fork. And they're going to be making hands-free Alexa smart TVs from next year. So if you want to get Toshiba smart TVs instead of this, the choice is really yours. And that's the thing. So it's interesting that now Amazon's been making their own, Amazon's been offering their smart TV OS to OEMs that don't have their own OS like Samsung or LG. And that's great. Today, Amazon's obviously making their own models, which is interesting. So that's kind of wacky if you ask me. And then the last bit of gadget that sort of Amazon offers now, sort of, along with the TVs, and it'll be available a little earlier than the smart TVs, is the Fire TV Stick 4K Max. That's the name, actually. That's 4K Max, as we'll call it. This has a slightly faster MediaTek chip at 1.8 GHz with 2 GB of RAM, so this is more than the regular Fire TV Stick. And apparently it'll be 40% faster than the Fire Stick 4K, generally. Which means loading up apps will be a bit snappier in that sense. It obviously does 4K, HDR, HDR10+, plus Dolby Vision, and Dolby Atmos. That's through your TV, so it's on your soundbar, I believe, part with Atmos. You have live view picture-in-picture and voice commands via the remote. Generally, no hands-free Alexa here. It's only in the Fire TV Cube, unfortunately. But this will do Wi-Fi 6 out of the gate. It's the first Fire TV Stick to do this, which is a big deal. And we can use the Air Eero Wi-Fi 6 extenders, you know, and you can sort of get those crispy Wi-Fi speeds, and you can stream in 4K, and it's wonderful. This will be available for $55, so it's $5 more than the regular Fire TV Stick 4K. It'll be available on October 7th. Again, well over a month before Black Friday. So you might, this might be on sale for a slightly lower price. I'm sure they planned a discount potentially for Black Friday. But it's a good, product for $55 if you ask me. Google's Chromecast is like $50. It's quite negligible, honestly. If you're in the Amazon ecosystem, this is a good option if you want snappy load times. And if you have a main TV and you already have Fire Stick, you have secondary TVs on the main, and you want an upgrade for your main TV, this is a good option generally. And it, this could also do the Lunar game, the Luna game streaming service, which I think is a big deal generally. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, it's a good option in itself. I mean, it really are. If you really are into Amazon and Prime Video and Prime Music, it's a good. Fire Sticks are a good choice generally. If you're outside of that sphere, then you know, Google Chromecast is a good option in my own opinion. I mean, and if you want to get more adventurous, there's the Mecool streamers that you can get on AliExpress if that's what you fancy. It's great to see a new Fire Stick that is 40% faster than the 4K variant in that sense. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at say_99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening so you don't miss another episode like this or next week's episode, which is all about the new iPhones. I mean, you don't want to miss that. Just subscribe, or you just click on the podcast, hit subscribe, queue up the next episodes. You know, I mean, whatever you can do, that would be great. Share it with all your friends and family and everybody in general. It takes me several hours on end to make this. I mean, it literally is 4 in the morning recording this. So every little bit of support helps. And if you could subscribe, that'd be wonderful, as it is. Again, till next week, this is your boy Marwan signing out. Stay safe, take care, have a great weekend, and thank you for listening. Ciao.